plate a potential nugget.
You know, one of the things that comes up in my coaching work, Mikhail, if I may build on, is, efficiency versus effectiveness. Sometimes, I come across leaders who are very clinical and want to get on with it. But very often by doing that, you're right, it comes in the way of motivation. It comes in the way of maybe exploring new possibilities or deepening a solution or figuring out potential roadblocks and stuff that could take 5 more minutes, but could help you get to a better place. So
exactly
with you on that. I think building on self-awareness, Mikhail, in the book, you also talk about 5 levels of self-awareness. I found that interesting. Again, the way you've sort of laid out the ladder of self-awareness across these 5 levels. So would you be able to touch upon them and just sort of give a broad frame of how you think about these levels?
Yes, I can. So I think the levels are interesting, as in there's a development, right? You asked earlier around how do you develop this? Hmm. How do you develop this this skylight? And it's actually a long process. And even if you have it, sometimes it can drop away when the tension really gets high, right? So. The phases are, it starts with unawareness. So you basically, you're not aware of your inner world. You're not aware of whether you're in adaptive or in a familiar zone. You could call that bliss, but it's basically unaware, right?
Bliss.
You're unaware and you might be ineffective. Then you have this this delayed awareness. So, and we all have had that, right? So you're in a meeting and then you say something and then 2 seconds later you think, oh my God, I wish I wouldn't have done that because it came from a very reactive behavior. So you start to become aware of triggers that don't get the best out of you. You get in fight, flight, freeze behavior. But you see it only after the fact, right? That's step one. Mm-hmm. Then you get to perceptive. You are aware in the moment. So you notice it in yourself in the moment, but you're not actually able to do something about it.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like, oh, there we go again. And then the next level is resilient. And this is quite masterful already because you're actually noticing in yourself that you're getting a trigger. And you can redirect yourself in the moment.
Hmm.
Right. So I sometimes have it when I'm working with a team and I'm getting triggered into something. And all of a sudden I see myself and say, oh, I'm actually very reactive. You know, I'm reacting to someone in the group. I don't agree with him. I'm getting into a fight and I'm not listening. Hmm. And then I can push the pause button and say, oh, wow, I actually got into a protection mode now. Did you guys see that?
You call yourself out in those situations.
I call myself out. And that is actually very interesting because then you can see how you can redirect yourself. And it's actually, even though it might feel vulnerable, people actually find it quite strong that you can actually catch yourself. By the way, they've all seen it, right? Mm. So it's better that I call it out.
Preemptive strike.
Yeah. So this is still all in the moment. And then there's another, that's the fifth phase, which is adaptive, right? There you start to identify a number of patterns that keep popping up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I've had a pattern for a very long time that if I didn't feel trusted, it triggered my emotions. So I felt insecure and then I started to make my points very strong and I stopped listening.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started to see that it happened over and over again, I needed to go deeper and start working on that pattern of why do I need to feel trusted before I can actually relax into something?
Mm-hmm.
And why do I ask others to trust me first before I trust them? You know, so I then once I started to work on that pattern, at some point when I had rewired that, those triggers didn't show up anymore.
In my work with leaders, I find that very often they start climbing the ladder of self-awareness from the bottom. You show them the mirror and shine the light on an issue that's in their blind spot. They take a baby step and move from level 1 to level 2 and start noticing the issue, at least in hindsight. Then they do some more work and start noticing it in the moment and move to level 3, where they're noticing the issue, but still are not able to regulate themselves. At that time, when they want to move from level 3 to level 4, I notice that very often they start telling themselves a story that they are like this only and start wearing that attitude on their sleeve. Like Marshall Goldsmith says in his book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. They often are reluctant to do the work to move from level 3 to level 4. And I find that this can come in the way of them unlocking their potential, especially at senior levels. In this podcast, many moons back, we spoke to Tasha Urich, a lady who's researched the topic of self-awareness for many years. When I asked her about her research methodology, she used an interesting phrase called self-awareness unicorns to describe some of the people she studied.
So we didn't set out to identify these people, and I'll define what a unicorn is in a second. What I originally thought was, all I have to do, you know, we developed and validated this very lengthy, comprehensive assessment of self-awareness. I thought all I have to do is go find a bunch of people who score high as rated by themselves and someone who knows them well, and then I'll crack the code of self-awareness. But what I discovered when we started to do that and we started to interview highly self-aware people is a lot of them, and I wouldn't venture a guess, but I'd say probably most, at least in our experience, had sort of always been like that. You know, you think about those people that are just naturally self-aware. It's just a way they're wired. And when we tried to figure out what they do to stay self-aware, they would literally say things like, you know, I've never really thought about that before. I don't know if I do anything consciously. And we were so frustrated. We were thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to figure this out? And then it dawned on us that all we had to do was to replicate what I had seen with my coaching clients, right? Find people who didn't start out as self-aware, but who were able, you know, over the course of months and years of commitment and effort to learn to see themselves clearly. And so that's what we ended up doing. We searched the world. Basically, we used snowball sampling, which is you ask everyone you know to fill out the survey, and then they ask everyone they know. And it actually, we got all around the world in a very, very globally diverse sample. But what we found eventually were 50 people, 50, who not only were highly self-aware as rated by them and someone who knew them well, but they and the person who knew them well also basically established that they had improved their self-awareness. So there were checks and balances built into the system just because, you know, you sort of think about if I went up to 100 people and I said, hey, are you self-aware? Would you like to be a part of our study? I'm sure we'll talk about this later in the podcast, but most people are not very good judges of their self-awareness. So that was why, you know, we had to have all these checks and balances and it was very complicated. But once we found these 50 people, a couple of observations, there were no demographic patterns by gender, age, nationality, job type, industry. We had students, we had a Fortune 50 executive, we had stay-at-home parents, we had professionals, really just a broad swath of people. And what was so interesting to me about that is it showed us that almost anyone can improve their self-awareness if they learn some of the tips and tricks that the unicorns uncovered for us. And so it was just a really fun process. And by the way, the reason we called them unicorns is my research assistants were joking that like, oh, you want us to find self-aware people who didn't start out that way? Well, we might as well be looking for unicorns. So everybody thought that was so funny. And then, you know, when we did find them, we thought, you know, this is kind of the perfect term for these people. You know, it's hard to imagine that they exist, but when we found them, there was just so much we learned.
I guess you don't need to be an entrepreneur of a $1 billion startup. Whichever field you're in, are you willing to do the work to be a self-awareness unicorn? That's a real question. Thank you for listening.